Merkle Media.
Everybody, and welcome to Back It Up Fridays with Hammerlane Legends. I am your host with the most, Jack Merkle. That's my name, don't wear it out. And I'm here to deliver you the goods on a Friday. I hope you've had a good week and you're ready for this weekend, as I always am. This week we got an episode that is one of those that just kind of takes you back a little bit, and it shocks you that sometimes truck drivers go through some crazy stuff. And that's what this one is. Episode 82, Texas Ice Storms, and we're joined with Tom. Tom actually came on a show very early in our run here. Episode 3, Plane Crashes Across the Road. I don't know if any of you remember that. Hopefully you guys are all still remaining here and hanging out with us from Episode 3, but he had one of the coolest stories in Episode 3, and, you know, likewise, he shares even more interesting and cool stories, for lack of a better word, in episode 82. You know, obviously the name speaks for itself, Texas Ice Storms. He deals with some crazy stuff with the whole ice storm that happened in Texas. He's also been through some other wild things, like tornadoes and such. And so he just shares some of those incredible stories that you hear when, you know, around the water cooler and whatnot. So I know you guys will like this one. I loved this one. We all loved this one. And we're back at it again. Episode 82. Here it is. Back it up. Peace out.
Merkle Media.
Anyway, we're driving and there was all this white stuff on the road and the wind hit. I swear to you, my truck was in the air.
Put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, crossed the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammerlane Legends. I'm your host, Tony Merkle.
And I am Brian Merkle.
We're really glad that you're here. If you have a crazy and wild story,
If you got a crazy and a wild story, give us a call.
Just email me. That was a bad one. All right. Keep it moving, Tom. That email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section. You can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. Dad, we got that voicemail line.
We do.
Tell them what it's about.
It's all about giving us a call and leaving a 5-10 minute story. If you have longer than that, give us a text or send us an email. Text, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Email, text, whatever.
Who knows?
Just get a hold of us that way.
Just do
it. And come on the damn show.
Nike.
What can I say?
Yeah.
Other than that, if you have a short story, 5-10 minutes, 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375.
Hey now. That voicemail line show is going to be coming up soon, I think, probably in the next month or so, whenever we get a chance. But hopefully we can have Jack in studio for that, because it's always nice to be able to kind of, for me to sit back in the chair in the corner of the room and just relax and talk and let Jack work the knobs and everything.
You got that right.
It'll be fun. But friends, we have the emergency preparedness food. That's preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. Get yourself emergency preparedness food that will last up to 25 years on the shelf. We also offer a lot of great water filtration and survival gear for those emergencies in your life that you just never know are coming, but they are coming. You want to make sure you and your family are good, and that is preparewithhll.com.
That's right. As we've heard it before, it's better to be a month early than a day month. Late.
Yeah. I was going to say monthly, but yeah, a day late's good too.
Yeah. Don't be a day, because a day late, it's too late.
Absolutely.
You're underwater.
So we also have buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. That's where you can buy us a coffee and keep us caffeinated. Right, Dad?
You got that right. And it's awesome.
Yeah, we really appreciate the people who buy us coffees, keep us caffeinated, and just support the show and help us keep things moving forward. So if you want to help keep us caffeinated, buy us a coffee, and, you know, it's like a little online tip jar, go to buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. Now, this week we have Tom coming back on the show. I referenced him last week in the intro, and Tom is a returning guest. He was on episode, I think, 3 or 4, and it was a great conversation back then, and this was even more of a fun conversation because he shared a lot of stuff that he's been through out in the roads, even driving through Chicago like Susan and all that stuff.
Right.
We need to get Susan back on the show. We haven't heard from him in a while, so I'll have to reach out to her. But let's get to Tom right now. All right, today we got Tom on the show, returning guest. Tom, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing well.
Yep, Tom, it's good to talk to you. I'm glad that you're doing, everything's going well for you, and it's good to hear your voice again.
So, Tom, do you remember?
Thank you, Brian.
I didn't look it up beforehand, but do you remember what episode you were on? I think it was like episode 2 or 3 or 4. No, it wasn't 2. I think it might have been 3 or 4.
It was 3 or 4, yeah.
I don't know, 2, 3, 4, whatever.
It's one of the very first episodes. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And so you're back with some awesome stories here. I can't wait to get into them.
Yep, definitely looking forward to it.
Now, Tom, let's start off with the military convoy because, you know, just the way you made it in the email, I was like, well, that's right up my alley.
Yep, that sounded cool.
All right. Well, in 1981... I was 20 years old, and we were told to pack our stuff and load up into trucks, and we were driving to the nuclear test site in Nevada from Fort Carson, Colorado, which is Colorado Springs. So when I got to my, I was a mechanic in the Army. So when I got to my duty station, my motor sergeant said, you know, what do you want to drive? And I said, I don't care. And so he licensed me for everything. So they put me in a 5-ton, which is kind of like a tractor trailer. This thing had a stick shift and then 2 other smaller stick shifts. I had no idea what to do. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm driving it. I can't get it above 35 miles an hour because I didn't know how to split the gears at the time. No one showed me. So they ended up throwing me out of that truck and putting me in a 2.5, which just had a regular stick shift. And it was fine. So we drive all the way, all these back roads through Nevada. People were waving at us, you know, saying whatever. And so we get out there and we see these guys, and they're all suited up completely, head to toe, in their chemical type garb, and they're spraying stuff on the ground. I have no idea what it is at the time. We go up, we set up a tent city. We had the, trying to think what they were called. NEST, N-E-S-T, Nuclear Emergency Search Team. What it was it was a deal to where a plane crashed into a helicopter. One was carrying a nuclear weapon. And we were supposed to get out there, set up a tent city, and support these guys. We're told not to look them in the eye, not to talk to them, not to say a word, because basically these guys don't exist. And so we do all that. We set up the tent city, if you want to call it that, a bunch of tents, and get everything ready to go. And I was working on the generator that was running the electricity. So I went up to the actual crash point, and I saw the wreckage of the plane and the helicopter. Supposedly it was fake. Probably was. I don't know. but did some work on the generator, and then they drove me back down to the tents, you know, to where we were all bivouacking. And, you know, we spent 50 days out there. We got to go into Vegas one time and get drunk, but that was a disaster. A lot of us got in trouble.
I bet.
And then they brought us back. Yeah, and then they brought us back, and then we were the last. Somebody did something bad, and so we were getting punished because our platoon, because somebody did something. I don't remember what it was. So we were the last platoon to leave, and they told us to stand at attention. And then the sergeant said that they were going to detonate an underground nuclear blast while we were there standing at attention. Now, I didn't feel the ground shake or anything. They said it happened, and then we all took off and went back to Colorado. But what they didn't tell us is, like I said, they were spraying stuff all over the ground. Well, I sent you that link from YouTube. It's actually, anybody can see it. It's on YouTube, showing they were spraying radiation on the ground while we were out there dealing with you know, supporting that NEST team, the NEST team. And so that's pretty much, I don't know, any questions?
Well, do you have any idea as to why they were sparing the radiation on the ground?
You know, you were never in the military, were you?
No.
You don't ask questions.
Yeah, it just exactly. You just do what you're told.
You just do what you're told. Yeah. I remember I asked a question one time, and my sergeant said, maybe we should vote about it. And I go, yeah, that sounds cool. And he goes, you're not in a democracy anymore. You're in a dictatorship. Yep. So
yep, that's
how it is.
It is how it is. It is everything in the military is a need to know, and most of the time you don't need to know. That's how they act. That's how they treat you. And yeah, unfortunately they put you in harm's way like that. And I there is just a part of me that is just I mean, I realize that there are things that we have to do, but there are some things that I'm just like, you know, we don't need to play fast and loose with people's lives. I just, that just bothers me. It just does. I don't like that we do that.
Right. I mean, like I said, I mean, I didn't have any idea what they were doing.
Right.
Until one day I just went on YouTube and put in New X 81, and I sent you the short video. There's a mm-hmm. couple more that are a bit longer. One's like an hour.
Wow.
But, of what they were doing out there. But that was the thing that really, we had no idea. They didn't tell us that.
Right. Right. And yeah, and that just bothers me. That's just, I don't know. I think you have a right to know. You know what I mean? There are just some things that I think when it comes to whether it's going to harm you or not, you should at least have the right to know that. Hey, like I said, I realize it's the military, but that's no excuse.
Well, you know, it's when you're in the military, you have every chance of getting harmed. So, yes. I mean, I guess
that's true.
It didn't matter to them.
Right.
You know, so, and it was, it's not like, you know, there was a draft back then. I joined, you know, so. It is what it is. Do right. I think it was right? No, not at all. But what's done is done.
Yeah.
That's probably why I have to take thyroid medicine for the rest of my life.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And that's what I was going to ask you, if there was any side effects to that. So there definitely was.
Maybe it was. I don't know. But I'll never admit to it. But yeah, I have to take thyroid medicine for the rest of my life. That's, like I said, you ask a doctor, he said, I told him what I did, and he said, well, it could be from anything. But yeah, it could be from that too.
Yep, copy that.
Was that a doctor at the VA?
No, I never went to the VA, man. I always have my own benefits. So,
gotcha.
I'm sure you heard the stories. And now with all the young men and women coming back from the Middle East, mm-hmm. I don't, you know, they really need it a lot more than I do. I mean, I have medical, so.
Right.
I'm good. If I need it, I'll go. But right now I got medical, so.
Yeah, I copy that.
Deal with my own.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I have never heard of that. And when you sent it to me, I was like, this looks.
That's crazy.
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it does look interesting.
Yeah, so it seems like maybe there's a little conspiracy hole I can jump down with that one.
I'm sure there is.
Well, NUAC stands for Nuclear Weapons Accident Exercise. So, just so you know what it stands for.
All right, so say that again. It's Nuclear
Weapons
Accident Exercise.
Okay. So theoretically, it was an exercise. It wasn't yeah. real, Tom. So yeah, your thyroid's lying to you.
Well, they were still spraying real radioactive stuff on the ground. So
yeah, they admitted it right there, man. I forgot one thing. During the time we were out there, the MPs were out there, and they grabbed a bunch of us, and they gave us billy clubs, and they told us that protesters were out there, and they're a bunch of actors and stuff like that, and don't go easy on them, you know. But and some of the MPs, man, they were beating the complete, excuse my language, shit out of them. I was just going at it, you know. I just missed every time. I purposely missed every time. I'm not going to beat up on American citizens. There's no way. So just saying, I don't know how they got out there, but they weren't supposed to be there. But they were on the nuclear test site. I don't know how they got out there, but
yeah, that's crazy. Usually people can't get on those things. I mean, they're usually pretty secure.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you try to get on Area 51 and see what happens. So
right, exactly.
I don't know. They said they were actors. It was all fake, but they were sure going pretty hard on these guys, man. I mean, they were like two or three guys were just getting them on the ground and just beating them with those billy clubs. It was crazy. Yeah.
That was the early 80s.
Maybe I'll get in trouble. Maybe I'll get in trouble for this. I don't know. I don't care. Too old now to worry about it.
That's a long time ago. You know.
They're going to have to catch you first, driver.
That's it, man. old preacher will get me away quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. That's a nice truck, too. That is an interesting story.
It is very interesting.
And it kind of gives an interesting insight as to how, I want to say this nicely, how interesting the behind the scenes is sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, you want to just think that, oh, everything is well thought out, well planned, and pure, as in they know exactly what they're doing, and they're not going to do anything to harm any other buddy.
Have you seen Afghanistan lately? you know what I'm saying? Well thought out. I don't know. You know, listen, I'm sorry. It's just I'm being honest. I don't care.
It's at this point, it's willful ignorance.
Of course.
You know, course. I mean, it really is. Yes. At this point, you have to literally put a bubble wall around you.
Yes.
And pretend that you don't. You don't see what you're seeing.
That's right.
And so,
because if you don't, the media will gaslight you, and they'll tell you, well, you don't believe your own eyes. Believe us.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's
well, it was.
I don't mean to get into that. No, that whole arena thing.
I don't
normally
care.
I don't like to, but I that's just, I'm sorry. That's where my mind goes.
So it was Cuomo on CNN. I think it was maybe like four
and
or five years.
Can of worms.
No, but I was just saying, like 4 or 5 years ago, he was talking about WikiLeaks on one of his broadcasts, and he said to the American public that it's unsafe for Americans to read this, that it's okay for them to read it, and they'll tell everybody what's in it, but it's not safe for the American public to read these documents.
That's the attitude.
These unfiltered documents.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah. You're not adult enough to read it, so.
Oh, we anyway. Have a...
Well, freedom of...
Go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Whatever you want to say.
That freedom of information stuff, when you get it and it's 90% of it's redacted with a black marker.
Yep.
You have no idea. You're just reading nouns and verbs and pronouns.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like not.
Freedom of information, I think not.
Right, yeah. maybe 100 years ago.
Yeah,
you know?
Freedom of disinformation,
yeah.
Maybe.
This is a problem that started back, I think it was during World War II. I think it was like during World War II. So probably like early to mid 40s is when the plan of weaponizing media started. And so this is a road we've been on for a long time. And it's just gotten to this point where now we are just like, oh yeah, you can't even deny it anymore. It is what it is, I guess. Yeah. You know? Oh yeah.
That's how you had the Supreme Commander, Dwight D. Eisenhower, mm-hmm. had never ever been in combat in his life. Mm-hmm. He was, I mean, I'm not saying he was a bad guy or a good guy. I don't know. I never met him, but right. I mean, you had guys like Patton, Bradley, you know, guys like that had all kinds of battlefield experience, and he had none, but yet he was the Supreme Commander.
Yep.
Kind of goes back to what you were saying. He had other things that he knew, like using the media to, you know,
yes,
weaponizing the media, like you said.
Yep. Yep. You got it.
Yep.
So, amen, brother.
And that just, okay. So back to 18 wheelers. Yes.
Back to Tom's story. Yes.
We could go
all day. We could do an hour and a half and not and you know piss off half the people.
It ain't the other show.
Exactly.
It isn't the other
show. The other show doesn't, listen, nowadays the way the world is, the other show doesn't even touch it because we can't get canceled. So you know, that's why we're just gonna reel it back. I'm not gonna do it.
No.
So we're just gonna reel it back. So Tom, I hear you got blown off the road in North Dakota.
That's the next one. So my wife used to ride with me. I say used to. So me and my dog and her, we were driving. She was in the bunk sleeping, and this storm was coming. We were coming from Colorado, heading to Minot. All I had on the truck, and it was way strapped against the back doors, was like 3,500 pounds, man. And this storm hit, and on the CB, people are going out. No, I wasn't with them. I'm not going to say it. I was with another company then, and out of Montana, and they kept saying, hey, your trailer, man, it's really leaning. You know, the wheels are still down, but the wind was coming from the west to the east, and my trailer was just lean. I was watching, just stressing, trying to beat it. It was a military shipment. Wanted to get it to the member. It had one day left, and it was going to be late, so I had to get there in my mind. And so we're driving and driving. My wife's, you know, yelling at me, kind of telling me, just pull over, pull over. And I was a lot younger. I was like, no, I can't. We can make it. Anyway, we're driving. And there was all this white stuff on the road. And the wind hit. I swear to you, my truck was in the air, literally. Like, wow. I don't know if it was a mini tornado or what it was. And anyway, I was trying to turn the wheel, and you can tell when you're not on, you know, your front wheels aren't touching the ground, because uh-huh. it would turn so easy. I came down, and then I just blacked out, man. I mean, I don't remember what happened, but all of a sudden, I'm going north on 83, which it cuts over from 94. Interstate 94, and then it's a U.S. highway or whatever up to Minot, and then further up into Canada. But I was going to Minot, North Dakota. And when it all stopped and it all ended, I was facing southbound in the median, going the other way, kind of jackknifed a little bit, and everything was fine. I got out. There was one of those little signs, you know, they're not really signs, but they're like little mile marker things. It was stuck in the bottom of my belly box. Like, you know what I do? I'm a mover. Mm-hmm. We have belly boxes under where the ramps and plywood and everything goes. It was stuck into there, and I was facing the other way. And my wife and dog, my wife, you know, when you sleep, your head's on the driver's side. Her head was on the passenger side. It spun her around, but she was fine. Shaking up. We both were shaking up.
Sure.
And she punched. Then she came up and punched me. And surprised my dog didn't bite me. But I got out. And nobody stopped. Remember, I said the only people who pulled over were truckers, but yep. In this case, truckers just kept going. They didn't even stop. Nobody did.
Wow.
And I realized that it was flat. Because usually there's a lot of ditches and, you know, it goes down. I would have high-centered because our trucks sit really low to the ground. Mm-hmm. I wasn't high-centered. I started it. It started right up. I pulled out, went around, spun around, and continued on my way. But, man, I mean, nobody even stopped. Nobody to see if I was okay or
that's crazy.
Anything. And I made my delivery the next morning.
Wow. That's awesome. But, wow. You know what? That's a driver for you.
Yeah.
That's a driver.
You know, if people don't believe that there's a supreme being, God, whatever you want to call it, I say God. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that was 100% proof. I mean, because we should have been dead.
Yep.
I mean, we were off the ground and we landed and there was minimal damage to the truck. I think one of the driver's side fairing was bent a little bit. And wow. And then the trailer just had that little hole in it. Nobody ever found out about it. Didn't do any damage to the trailer. Oh, and then when I got there to unload the next morning, I used to always load my own shipments. I don't do it so much anymore. Nothing was damaged. It was just like I had it when I loaded it.
Wow.
It was perfect.
Jeez.
That's awesome. That's good loading. That's what that is.
Well, and a miracle too. Don't forget the miracle.
Brother. You got that right. I mean, that's a miracle. I mean, the whole thing is just crazy. You walked away from that. And neither you nor your wife nor the dog were harmed in any way. And you literally drove that truck and trailer away from that spot. That is a miracle. That's amazing.
When we were driving back the next day, mm-hmm. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's all right. Go ahead. You good?
So when we were driving back after it was over, heading back down south, I was looking, and the median part or the middle part that separated the highway. Mm-hmm. It was all like a ditch, that was the only place in 100 miles that was flat where we ended up. The only place, it's a miracle, man.
Yep. 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 Don't tell me that. I agree with you 100%, Tom. Don't tell me there's not a higher being. I call him God too.
God.
So I'm with you.
Yeah, me too.
I call him God too.
Yep.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Yeah, it was nuts. Yeah, one thing got hurt. Remember my arm? My wife, when she punched me.
That was an after the fact.
Yeah,
that was an after effect of the accident. Yeah, not even an accident. I mean, it's just an event that's just crazy. I mean, you can't even. You know, that's just. I'm glad you were okay. I'm glad she was okay, and everything worked out. But man, that has got to be a moment where you are just white knuckled and butt cheeks are clenched, dude.
Yeah. I mean, in that moment, I'd be saying, okay, this is how it's going to end. This is how it's going to end, I guess.
What I was, I was praying when I knew I was in the air, I started praying.
Oh, my word. Yeah. I can imagine. I can only imagine what that's got to feel like. Wow.
Yeah.
Everything just slowed down, man. Mm-hmm. It was just everything. You hear about that all the time. It's what it was like. It was like everything went into slow motion.
I can imagine.
Yep.
Yeah. Because when you said that you had this experience, I was thinking like the high winds in the Midwest and I mean I've never driven trailer out there, but I had a friend who did, and he said there was times that he had to actually turn his steering wheel like the opposite direction just to keep the truck going straight. And I thought that's where we were going with it, not Wizard of Oz.
Yeah,
my tractor trailer is in a tornado like the house in Wizard of Oz.
That is wow.
Jeez, that's scary.
Well, I wouldn't know. That wasn't the only time I've had a tornado thing. I had another one in Georgia. Mm-hmm. We were at a truck stop at a TA. This is pretty quick, but because I slept through the whole thing, but except my wife beating on me again. But this time she kicked me. She was in the top bunk. I was in the bottom bunk. And all of a sudden she swung down and kicked me in my ribs. And I'm like, what the, what? Mm-hmm. And she's like, we got lifted up. There's a tornado. And the truck was shaking pretty good. But I was like, are you serious? And she said it lifted it up off the ground a little bit and put it down. She jumped down and, she didn't mean to kick me in the ribs. She just was doing the old you know, monkey bar type thing down to the, never seen her move like that before. I didn't see it. Actually, I was sleeping, but she don't move like that. But boy, she did that night.
Wow.
That, yeah. And you know, I get it. I get the, you know, the front, you know, the scared, you know, what's going on, you know, attitude that, you know, that she presented with. It's like, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, my word, if I'm sleeping in a bunk and all of a sudden the truck lifts up off the ground and I feel it, I'm jumping out of the bed too, you know. Yeah, that's the way, you know. So I totally get that. Does you, and so I take it your wife doesn't travel with you anymore then, right?
No, it's not that. She just has some underlying health issues where it's just too much for her to be, and she works, so right. You know, we both, even though we're old, we both work, and you know,
I know that feeling.
Do what the hell we gotta do.
Her
I know you do.
Yeah,
her underlying issue is driving with you in tornadoes. She's like, every time I'm in the truck with Tom, there's a tornado.
I used to tell her that we'd have tornado warnings come over, you know, on the band there, and they'd say, yeah, there's tornadoes,
right?
And she'd go, you need to pull over. I go, no, we're a moving target. If we're a moving target, it'll be harder for us to hit. We'll keep going.
Exactly.
I know. I'm an idiot.
Hey.
What are you going to do?
We have a job to get done, and we know it, so we just keep pushing through. It's what it is.
Well, look what happened the one time. I sat there, and we ended up getting a little bit shook up from it. So.
Yep.
We keep moving. I've never seen one, but, I mean, I've seen the damage of them so many times. That big one that hit in the 90s in Oklahoma City, I was there the next day, and it was, man, I've never seen anything like it. Wow. Nothing. You know, one house was gone. Two houses were there. Three houses were gone. You know, it was weird how it just, it'll destroy one house and leave two others and then get the next one. And
yeah,
it's just crazy.
It seems totally random.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. I mean, it's one of the craziest things you'll ever see because it's so random at the way it destroys, you know, like you said, Tom, it'll hit one house and not the one next to it. It's like, how's that, you know, make any sense? It doesn't, but you know, it's a crazy thing. Those are crazy events, you know.
We just had a tornado. We've been having some tornadoes around here recently.
You guys have been, especially down here.
Yeah. And in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, there was a tornado that hit right on Street Road and it hit the dealerships and like the Cadillac dealership, and like they got cars turned over, the front of their buildings torn off. And I was looking at the pictures of it. I was like, dang, man, like I used to drive by there every day around that time. And I was like, I'm glad I wasn't up there.
Amen, brother.
It can be scary.
Yeah, no, it is. We actually get little ones out here where I live, believe it or not, about over in Battleground, which Wes will know where that is. It's pretty close to Vancouver.
Okay.
We've got them in Vancouver a couple times. I'm sure he can attest to that. I mean, they're not bad, but, and they get them on the coast down in Oregon too. But they're not like, they're not like the ones they get in the Midwest and deep South and all that. Those are nuts, man.
Oh, my word, yeah.
I'm just glad they didn't get you guys, man. We need you guys.
Well,
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I really do. I appreciate that. I don't even know what to say to that. It's like, I appreciate that, Tom.
It didn't even cross my mind.
No.
Like, I was just thinking about, I saw a picture of the one that hit in Cherry Hill, New Jersey recently. Mm-hmm. And it looked like about a half mile wide.
Wow.
It was absolutely huge. And I was just thinking, like, if I saw something like that coming, I mean, what do you do? Like, especially if it's like last minute, not from a distance, like what I saw. And I mean, literally there is no quick get in the truck and see if you can outrun it or get around it. It's just get in the most sturdy place you're at.
Head for the basement, head for a door jam. Yep.
Yep. I got a crawl space in my house that has, you know, no windows, things like that. And I would probably hide in there. That's the only thing I can think of a safe place for me. But I think everybody should consider that because you just never know when a tornado is going to pop up. Even if you're not in an area where they typically don't come.
It can happen.
You just want to be ready. Yeah.
Yeah, it can happen.
That's terrible. I mean, we already get earthquakes and we got two volcanoes, you know, really close to us.
Yes,
and now we're getting tornadoes. Get the hell out of here.
what's next? Frogs? Plague? What? It's like, what the heck? Were you
in the area when Mount St. Helens blew?
No. I was in the Army. My wife saw it happen. She actually saw it happen.
Wow.
That was amazing.
I was at Fort Carson in, Colorado Springs, mm-hmm. where I told you earlier. Anyway, we got ash really bad there. All the way there.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was what, 1982, I think it was, or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was 80, wasn't it?
Was it 80?
It was 80,
okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was before I was born, but I knew it was the 80s, yeah. And I was born in 85, and so, like, I only ever heard stories mm-hmm. of it, but from what I remember, people said that ash fell here in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, it we got, like...
It went around the whole world.
Yep,
yeah.
It did. It clouded the sky, and yep, it was crazy.
It took a few thousand feet off that mountain, let me tell you.
Yes, it did. Man, you watch some of those videos.
Really?
You watch that mountain collapse. You should Google it sometime.
Wow.
Or YouTube it.
Yeah.
Mount St. Helens, volcano eruption or whatever they want to call it.
Yeah.
But I mean, just watch that whole mountain just blow off and collapse. It's crazy. You should watch it.
I should watch it.
It's crazy. You'll sit there and you go, holy crap.
True.
You know, it's nuts. So anyway.
Imagine if Yellowstone blew.
Oh, my word. It'd be crazy. Can you imagine what that'd be? Caldera?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean that's a global ending event right there.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
There'll still be a few of us cockroaches left.
Yeah, yeah. You'll come across another human and be like, let me guess, truck driver. Yep,
they're hard to kill.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. We survived tornadoes, ice storms, all that. You know?
What? We have to. We got to get the freight through.
Yeah, whenever it comes back. So speaking of ice storms, were you in the ice storm that was in Texas recently? Is that what you were referring to?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wow. So I loaded in Bakersfield. I'll try to be brief about it. Had a cop, because I guess I had the only way to get to this guy's house, he was a doctor, to load him up, a new household. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was a no truck street, but it wasn't posted. This cop, he was just driving through the neighborhood about every hour looking at us, but he never said a word. So we get done, we pull out, and he's sitting right there. And I get to the light, and as soon as I started through the light, hit his lights, I pull right over. And he goes, you're on a no truck street. And he was a young guy. And I've seen there was no arguing with the guy, or trying to not argue, but try to explain to him that household drivers are usually exempt from that rule. But no, got a ticket. And then, so that's how it all started. Then I'm driving and it's really bad windy, not like in North Dakota, but it was bad. And then I get into Arizona. I'm on 40, same where the plane crash, and it's starting to rain. Then I get up in the flag and it's snowing and there's trucks on their side everywhere. This is in Arizona. Same thing in New Mexico. Then I get into Texas and I cut down route two or highway 287, heading towards Amarillo. I was heading to Denton and dude, there was just none of those windmills were working. None of them. I can tell you they weren't working mm-hmm. and whatever the hell they were putting down. If they thought it was sand, they were out of their minds. I think what they did is they thought it was sand, or maybe it was a little sand, but they were digging deeper. And what they were putting on the road was half sand and half dirt.
Wow.
So guess what happened? It turns into mud.
Yes, it does.
I mean, my truck, it looked like a dirt clod. It was filthy. But the worse than that, I mean, you would hit a rut and you would start to, what is it? Oh my God. I can't even think right now.
Like
when your trailer comes, I can't even think right now, man. Uh-huh. Jackknife.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
My trailer would start to come around, and then you just, all you can do is punch it. You know, you just step on the accelerator and straightened out. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going fast, but all them Texans, man, they don't know. They're just like going so fast. I mean, it was scaring me so bad.
Right.
And I get to my customers and I deliver, and then to leave, there was this hill, right? It was, the whole street was iced up. So I get up to the top and the light changed.
Wow.
And then so I went to go and nothing would happen. So I've got cars behind me. I'm waving them by. Then I back up. I try to get a good run at it. The light changes again. It must have been 10 times I tried it. Finally, this guy, man, I don't know if he was human or he's an angel or what. He come out with that Texas S and he goes, "Hey, man, I'll hit that light. I'll watch for you to come. And then right when you hit, you know, you get close, I'll hit the light so it'll change and you can make the turn." And he got out and he did that. And I got out of there, man. And I was heading over to Austin to deliver another shipment. That doctor, as a matter of fact, well, he couldn't take a shipment because where he lived, it was all snowed in and there was no way you could get into this place. So I had to go to a moving company until they could clear it all out and deliver it. Cause I had other stuff that had to be done. So I get there. Oh, I mean, I'm driving there to get up there and I'm just watching these trucks go around me. And then I'm watching them, you know, they're starting to jackknife, but they're pulling out of it. And I'm like, oh my God. So I slowed it so far down. I know people just had to, "Hey man, this is Portland, Oregon on the side of your truck. You should know how to drive like that." Like, hell no, man. I do know how to drive in this stuff. That's why I'm slowing down.
Exactly.
And, you know, so I made it to Carl's Corner there with some of the, I'm sure a lot of people know where that is in Texas. It's about 70 miles for Austin, maybe more. I don't know. And I pull in there. I'm like, man, I'm just going to wait it out and then drive the rest of the way tomorrow. So I get there. I go to get out of my truck and I fall on my ass. It's just a sheet ice. So I'm pissed. You know, I get back in, and I just drive over the fuel island, you know, truck and trailer. So I can go in and try to get something to eat or whatever, or shower. Nothing. It's shut down. Nothing. You can't get fuel. You can't get anything. Everything was shut down. Bathrooms didn't work. I'm not going to go into all them stupid stories that I'm, you know, the SHIT stories. I'm not going to get into that, but
it was part of the equation. I'm sure.
Thank you.
Right. It sucked. It really sucked. So next day, you know, I drive and you know, I get to the moving company and I pull onto their lot. And so they go, "Hey, we're ready for you." So I start to drive. I'm not going nowhere. I'm getting ready. I'm going, damn, I'm going to have to chain up just to go 10 feet or 20 feet, you know? But I remembered something. You guys probably know this trick. You just put it in a higher gear, you know, with your, you know, lock your axles in and put it in a little bit higher gear. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you'll get traction as long as you don't keep putting yourself in a rut, you know, right. And I got out of it. And anyway, so, but it was just a complete, excuse my language, shit show. Nope, they didn't know what the hell to do. They had no clue of how to deal with a situation like that. They were putting, literally, they were putting dirt with a little bit of sand on the roads and just making it way worse.
That's crazy.
You were driving on mud.
Yep. It's like you're driving in a mud flow. It's like, what is the point of this?
How much sand should we use? Just enough for traction. Just a little bit.
Make the rest dirt.
Make the ratio about 1/10.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
It was ugly, man. It was really ugly. So,
oh, man. Go ahead.
That's all. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm glad you made it out of there safely. Because that, you know, like said, that kind of crap, that can be like, that is just a shit show sometimes. And, you know, it's crazy. It is just crazy. And, you know, but, you know, one of the things that I wanted to point out that you said, and this is one of the things that a lot of people don't realize, some of the stuff that truck drivers deal with. Now, there you are in the business you're in, doing what you do. You're a mover. You had to get into a place where it said no trucks on these roads, and the cop sits there and waits for you to move, knowing that you're doing something that's your job.
Yeah.
And doesn't look at it and go, you know, this is what he does. I mean, how else are you supposed to move somebody? You know, you're supposed to beam it up, Scotty? What? What are you supposed to do? You know, this is the stuff that regular people don't understand we go through sometimes. Go ahead, Tom.
No, it was in Bakersfield, California, man.
Right,
and
right.
Brian and Tony both. It never said, because I looked. Well, I'm very, very aware of my surroundings. I've been doing this a long time.
Sure.
There is no sign anywhere that said no trucks allowed. Nothing. Not. He said I should have known. I said, I don't live in Bakersfield. How the hell would I know?
Right.
I mean,
what, do you think we just carry around ordinances for every town we drive in? I mean, what? But this is the crap that we deal with. This is the stuff that you have to do.
Yeah, like the one time I ran a red light and the cop said I should know better because I have a CDL. What the heck is that?
Oh, yeah, you should have known.
I've done stuff like that too. And back in the day when, you know, and I've heard the exact same thing. I should know better because I have a CDL.
Yeah. I was driving home. It was literally, I just got hired at Pitt, Ohio, like within 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it was a rainy day and I was going home and I had bad tires in my car. And so the light turned yellow and I was at that weird spot. Like if I stop,
right,
I'm going to slide and I'm going to slide through the intersection. So I just,
you have a decision to make.
And I hit it and I went through a red light and the cop, and as I was going through the red light, I looked to my right and there's a cop sitting right there. I was like, come on. He pulls me over. I'm like, officer, I just got a truck driving job with Pitt, Ohio 2 weeks ago. If you can cut me a break. And he said to me, he said, listen, I'm going to write you a ticket, but if you show up to the court date, I'll drop it. And I said, okay, fair enough. And he did. And
well, at least
the crazy thing was, so granted, like when I got hired at Pitt, Ohio, like I was hard up with finances. Like I didn't have money. So that's why I didn't have bad tires on my car. And that's why my car wasn't inspected.
Right.
He didn't get me for any inspection. But the very next day, I'm pulling up to my apartment complex. I'm like about to turn into my apartment parking lot.
Right.
I get pulled over by a cop. Because he was driving by me and he saw I didn't have my inspection. I was like, you got
2 days in a row, dude.
What the heck? And so like, I got a letter from Pitt, Ohio saying, you know, you have to, as a professional driver, you have to be careful, this, that, and the other. But that was the last time I ever got pulled over, those two times.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. But no, I just wanted to point that out. That's some of the things that we deal with as truck drivers, you know, like that cop in Bakersfield, you know, he could, knowing what you're doing and knowing what line of truck driving you're in and what, you know, what kind of, you know, truck you're driving, what kind of trailer you're pulling. It's like, it's just obvious. He knew where you're coming from and he pulls you over anyway and gives you a ticket.
He drove by us like 10 times during the day, man. I seen him at least 10 times. I saw him at least 10 times. Driving through the little neighborhood that we were in, he knew what we were doing. The ramps out, guys out there dollying furniture, padding it up, you know. He knew what the hell we were doing. He knew why I was there. It says, you know, blankety blank van lines, you know, on the side of the damn truck. I mean, come on, man.
Exactly.
It says moving. I mean, come on.
Yep.
Damn thing. I mean, my trailer's the color of a damn safety cone.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it's just it's nuts. These, you know, I was coming down the Grapevine. This is just something that just happened a couple days ago. Heading home, and I noticed. I said, "Is that a damn campfire on the side of the road?" You know, it's over there. I don't know if you know. Do you know? Have you heard of the Grapevine?
I haven't.
No.
So it's a hill between Los Angeles and Kern County heading, it's I-5, you know, Interstate 5, major. So it's kind of gnarly, but it really isn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as you keep your speed right and keep your jigs and do all the right things and don't burn up your brakes, you're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. But so I'm getting closer and everybody's getting over and slowing down. I get up, it's a friggin' tanker. And his wheel, you know, his tires were at this point on fire and it was burning on the tanker itself. I don't know.
Wow.
It could have had food in it. It could have had water, but it also could have had fuel in it or chemicals or whatever. And these people we're all getting in the left lane. There's only three lanes. So we're all in the left lane trying to get, they're slowing down to look at it.
Wow.
I'm like blowing my arm. Get the F out of it. Come on.
What are you doing?
I'm leaning over as far to my driver's side window away from it as I can. I just know this thing's going to explode, but it didn't. I mean,
thank God.
I don't know. I don't know what happened. I tried to look it up online, but I couldn't find nothing about it. But so I don't know what it was, but it was a tanker and it was on fire. So that's all I needed to know.
That's it.
Yeah.
That is all you need to know.
Get
enough
away.
Information to keep moving.
Yeah. Just get away. Yeah.
I did not want to hear the boom.
No,
not at all. Just last week, my son and I got in my truck and we were heading down the road in our neighborhood, and that I saw these cops come flying by and they stop in front of us, and there was no crews to stop traffic yet, so he was just kind of letting people go by, and there was this billowing black cloud coming out of the neighborhood. And we drive by and somebody's garage was on fire. Wow. And it had lit the trees around it on fire.
Nice.
And my son, you know, 3 years old, gonna be four in December, he gets to see this like blazing fire and he's like, wow.
I bet, yeah. You know, that's how most drivers, that's how most people react when they're in their cars and they see something like that. It's like they're like 3 year olds, wow, let's slow down and look. Yeah. No, let's not. Let's keep moving.
Meanwhile, people like you and I and Tony and all of us, you know, we're like, come on, let's go. I don't want to. I really have seen so many wrecks, deadly wrecks, people dead, everything. And I'll tell you, man, I don't look. I don't want to see it.
Nope. I don't
know. Yeah. I keep my eyes straight ahead. I know somebody's going to slam on the brakes in front of me. I'm going to end up taking them out if I don't pay attention.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Accident number two on the scene.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all the first responders need, right?
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, all they got to do is jump on the other side of the median, they're there. So, I mean, that reminded me when I was driving out of Philly years ago when I first started driving truck for Pitt, Ohio. I drove by one of those kind of scenes. It was the first time I ever saw something like that, and the rescue crews weren't even there yet. And people were sobbing and crying, and there was a body on the road, and somebody had like a white sheet that was over the body, but it was just like drenched in blood. And I was just like, freak, man. Yep. Like, I don't know. You don't know what happened, but I was just like, that sucks. That really sucks.
And
it was a motorcycle. It was a motorcycle too. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, that's scary. Go ahead, Tom.
I've actually had to do that before. I was I-5, you know, kid. There, but it was Central California, kind of coming back from the Bay Area, heading back to Los Angeles area, and there was a bad wreck, and it was really late, and it was bad, and there was people sprawled all over, and anyway, no cops, nobody was there yet, so I pull over, and this one guy was, I don't know if he was dead or not, he looked like it, but I didn't cover his head, but I went and grabbed a moving pad, and put it over, you know, I didn't cover his head, but right. I tried to, it was cold, you know, rain, it was really crappy out. And, so I covered him, you know, except his head. I didn't touch him. He was just dripping with blood.
Wow.
A couple other guys, they were up, they were moving around, but they were bloody too. And then another guy, I look up and I locked my doors. Thank God. He was trying to get into my truck. It turns out that it was a stolen car from some nurse that got at the cops when he finally showed up, and they seen him and they nabbed him. But yeah, he was trying to get in my truck so I'd give him a ride out of there, but it was locked. And I go, hey, I don't know who that is, but that's my truck. And he's not with me. So, oh, and then when I left, the cop goes, hey, you want your blanket back? I go, no, that's all right.
Yeah, I can get another blanket.
Yeah, put that in the hazmat bag.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
absolutely. So, I just got a couple things, some Chicago stories for you. What's her name, that lady?
Susan.
For Chicago.
Susan. Yeah, Susan.
Yeah, we've been here for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I've seen her trucks. I've been to Chicago lots of times. But one of my first times, I wasn't with the guys I'm with now, but I had to go to a moving company that was in the south side of Chicago back in the, I would say, probably, you know, late 90s. It was before 9/11. I know that. It was probably the late 90s. So I got there. I know there's going to be traffic. So I got there early, and they, you know, I parked on some crappy street. Broken window. It was terrible. And these three, two guys, or one guy and two girls, they looked like zombies, man. They probably weighed maybe 100 pounds each. And they were throwing rocks and breaking windows. And I'm like, oh, shit. So all of a sudden, this cop shows up, you know, Chicago PD. He rolls his window down and he yells, knock it off. And then he just speeds off. I go, man, I am screwed. Wow. You know, I mean, it's all he's going to do, just say, knock it off. And then, so I'm sitting there waiting for my turn to go unload into the warehouse. And this guy comes around the corner, I was in a cab over at the time, hits my bumper, bends it all the way out, keeps driving. And, you know, I was younger and good shape, and man, I had really long hair, and I tied in a ponytail, and I jump out of the thing and I run after the car like I'm going to do anything. And there's this group of guys that, you know, probably belong to, well, you know, a gang or something. And I stop immediately and I go, some guy just hit my truck, man. Did you see a car come through here? And they're just looking at me like, what the hell are you doing here? And I go, never mind. And I just walked back to my truck and just sat there and waited. And finally, it was crazy. The cops would not come down and take a police report or anything. Wow. And yeah.
Wow.
Holy.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's like, I got hit. I mean, and you're like, and?
You're still breathing, right? Yeah. Well, you're good.
Don't worry about it.
Any bullet? No bullet holes in you? No stab wounds? You're good, man. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You got to wait.
We got five calls right now with gunshots and wounded people, and you want me to take care of you and your little bumper? Sorry.
Yeah, they wanted me to actually. I had to end up because the people that owned the truck made me go down to the police station and file a police report. Yeah. Nothing ever came of it, but. Sure. I mean, I remember driving through the, I don't remember how long ago, 10, 15 years ago, and it was in Chicago and getting ready to get on the freeway and everybody's backed up and it was really early in the morning. I'm like, what the hell? There's this guy, dude, passed out in his car, dead. I don't know. He looked passed out, just blocking all kinds of traffic and just like it was a normal day and
wow.
People are just trying to get around him. And you know, I'm in a big 18 wheeler and I'm like, holy shit, how am I going to get around this guy? But
right.
I did.
Wow. That's the stuff we see, you know, you see it a lot.
Yeah. Chicago really. It's a fun place.
Yep. That's what they tell me.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
That's why when I did drive through Chicago, I drove through in the middle of the night and just kept moving.
Keep going.
Don't stop. Just keep going.
The suburbs aren't bad.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty awesome there.
Yeah.
But
I hear it's expensive
Chicago
there.
Proper. Well, and all the low bridges, man. Yep. If you don't know where they are, you're screwed.
Mm. Yep. Yep.
So I always just rent a U-Haul. I put it in a U-Haul and bring it that way. Yep. That way I know I'm not getting up on the news.
Yeah. Or in one of those YouTube videos.
Yeah.
We got some bridges here. I think, you ever see that one I posted of the Walmart truck under the bridge?
Yep.
Yeah, it was me. I actually took that picture.
Wow.
That wasn't something I got off the internet. I actually saw that.
That's crazy.
For 5 miles, it said 1210. 5 miles.
Wow.
Every mile it said 1210. And this guy still went. I wasn't in a semi. I was in a little pack van that I borrowed. We were just going to go do the packing that day. And
I knew
I could get under it.
Right.
I'll tell you, I from what I hear about Walmart, that driver was fired.
Oh, yeah.
They're
very strict.
Yeah. I mean, there was a period of time where work really slowed down at Pitt. Now it's the exact opposite now. Yeah. But there was a period of time that it was so slow that I was looking for another job where I could have more time
hours,
and stuff. And I applied to Walmart and like I have a great driving record.
Right.
But they asked questions in the application and I was being honest and I said that when I was driving straight truck, I had an incident where when I was backing into a dock, I caught the side wall and it was just one of those things in North Philadelphia, you know, you can't see real good. And because I put that on there, they said I wasn't eligible. I was like, freak, man. Like you guys are looking for squeaky, clean drivers.
Yeah, they go in that way, but. They don't come out that way.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Nobody's perfect.
No, happens. That's the way it is.
I imagine that even Walmart's probably a little bit looser with who they hire these days because the industry is just hurting
everybody
so bad for drivers. Yeah,
yep. Everybody needs drivers.
No, it's sad. It's really sad. So I got one last one, sure. And it's really an old one. Well, I've got more, but I'm just saying. So I don't know. It's all before 9/11 too, the late 90s, early whatever. Mm-hmm. I was in Miami, and there was a hurricane. I want to say it was Irene, but it wasn't the Irene. It was in like the late 90s. So, but sometimes they use the names again.
Right.
But it was a hurricane, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm parked at, they called it the Little Cuba Truck Stop or something like that. I think it's a pilot now. And I'm parked there, and, you know, I go to sleep, and I wake up. You know, I remember the hurricane. It wasn't that bad. It really wasn't. I mean, it wasn't as bad as North Dakota, but it was pretty gnarly. You know, I'd never been in a hurricane before. How the winds blow one way, and then when you're in the center. Because I remember being in everything was calm when you're in the center, and then the winds go the other way. But I went to get out to go get coffee. I opened my door, and the water was all the way up to my steps.
Wow.
It had flooded the whole place. And so, dumb me, you know, I throw on a pair of sandals and, you know, I got shorts on and I just walk up there and, you know, knee deep or more than knee, almost thigh deep water, not even thinking of all the friggin' snakes and alligators could be in there.
Right. Yeah, it's Florida.
Didn't even think about it, man.
Wow.
You know, being a West Coast guy. So I had no clue, you know. But yeah, I never saw one or anything or
thank
nothing
God
happened.
But holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have thought about that either. But after you said it, I'm like, yep. In my head, I'm like, holy crap. Yeah. Never thought about that.
I had to get that coffee and something to eat, man. It was, you know, now I have a fridge and my own coffee maker. I'll never put that Instapot in my truck. And
yep.
I call my own, try to cook my own meals, try to eat better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the things, like you said, the things that we see.
Yes.
Are just, yeah.
Yeah. And it seems like to us, it's just some of these things are just the everyday things, you know, it's just some of the everyday, it's like, yeah, it's what we do for a living. And you see these things, you know, it's crazy.
That's one of the hardest things about getting through to some of the drivers. Like I try to get some drivers on the show and stuff. And they're like, oh, but I don't got much of stories. I'm like, bro, you've been driving for 30 years.
You literally
have a life of stories.
Right.
Like you just don't think they're interesting.
Right. Because you see it every day.
But
you see
to
it
the
all
world
the time.
That isn't in your shoes.
Yep.
They're like, whoa.
That's weird.
Know?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, I can't let that be my last one.
Okay.
I got one. It's kind of R-rated though. So
that's
I'll try to watch how I say it. So I'm in South Dakota this time. And I'm driving, and this car pulls up. It's an older sedan, you know. Mm-hmm. Probably, like I said, it's probably the 90s were crazy, man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's driving next to me, so I look down. This lady was all the way reclined back, didn't have any clothes on. Looked like she was completely out of it. He's got not his fingers, man. He's got his hand in the cookie jar.
Wow.
And it just, and I didn't, you know, I mean, I'm looking, but I'm like, holy shit, is she okay? You know, I mean, is this going to end up being a murder?
Right.
I mean, I just didn't know what to do, man. I had no cell service. I mean, I just, you know, and this guy, man, he was a scary looking dude, man, you know, driving. And he wanted me to see this. I mean, he's honking his horn. You know, he wanted to see this. I mean, her eyes were open. And she was kind of smiling, but I mean, I'm sure, but it just wasn't right, man. There's just a time and place for everything.
That's not either. I know the things you see. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? Am I seeing this now? You know, come on.
Yeah. I forgot all about that when you then you mentioned the things that we see. I was like, oh shit, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, I've seen that several times myself.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude.
Yep.
Yeah, but that was just scary looking. I mean, she looked like she was out of it, man, like on drugs or alcohol or both, you know. It was just that's just not right.
No, I agree. I don't that's wrong. That's just wrong.
There was something back in the day in this area, I don't know what it is, but I just remember the drivers telling me, like, I don't know if it was a bumper sticker related to a radio station or if it was just the radio station, but there was some kind of shtick going on where, like, girls, because they were motivated by something, I don't remember what it was, but they would flash truckers.
Whip them out Wednesday?
I think that's what it was. Whip them out Wednesday.
What was that? Opie and Anthony.
Yes,
right?
That's what it was. Yes. Whip them out Wednesdays.
You're talking to two old truck drivers.
Yeah.
I remember that. I used to listen to them.
I mean, the guys at work were like, that was a thing.
In the dirt on the back of your trailer, you'd write, wow.
That's what it was. Wow. Exactly. Yes.
Oh my God. I forgot about
that. That's what it was.
Right.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
Oh my
We can't do that, Brian and Tony. We can't do that. Yeah. We're driving in the neighborhood, you know. And
exactly.
Little kids.
Yes.
I mean, kids playing ball, rolls out in the street. You know,
really?
Why are you driving so slow in the neighborhood? I'm like, yeah, dude. That's exactly why.
Just
came out. Yeah. There's going to be a kid that follows it. They're not going to.
Every time, no, they're not. You're right.
You drive through a neighborhood with WoW on the back of the trailer. It's now Real Housewives Trucker Edition.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, dude. I never. Well, even back then, we couldn't do stuff like that.
No.
Well, I'm not saying some drivers did, but most of us didn't. We knew. It isn't professional. I mean, we got to deal with the public, so.
Yes, exactly.
They probably listen to Opie, or they used to anyway, listen to that. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, yeah, That's
just some of the old stuff that we used to say.
Whip them out Wednesday. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, I remember.
Well, I'm glad I could take some nostalgia for you guys.
You certainly
and
did.
Bring
That's
you down
a walk
memory
down
lane.
Memory lane.
Yep. That's some nostalgia there, the trucker nostalgia. Oh man, Tom!
Now it's MUF. Mask them up Fridays. friggin' world we live in.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. What a world!
Yeah. You got that right.
Are you guys gonna wear a mask while you carry 20,000 pounds worth of furniture? You know, my house today and. It's like, how about this?
Wow.
How about we clear out a room? You go in there. When I need to talk to you, I'll put a mask on and come in there. Because it's hard, man.
Oh, my word. Yeah, I can't imagine that. Me. Yeah, that's crazy. How are you supposed to breathe? What in the world? I agree with you. I couldn't do that, Tom. I that's a good way to handle it.
You just must not care about other people, Tom.
Yeah, I do. I tell them to go in the other damn room.
Exactly.
We clear out a room for them, man.
That's
we
right.
Leave a chair in there, and they can look at their smartphones or their little tablets and watch The Housewives or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I
do care. I do care. Believe me, 90% of our customers do not ask us to do that.
Right.
They think it's as ridiculous as the rest of us do.
Yeah.
But the mainstream media says otherwise.
Yep.
Like how I took it back to the beginning?
I did. You bring it full circle.
I'm bringing it full circle.
Yeah. No thanks.
Yeah.
No thanks.
No, I'm with you.
It's already depressing enough without listening to that malarkey.
Oh, man. You got that right.
Just trust in
malarkey. It's an old word, Tony.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to pull out my old man dictionary to figure it out.
That's right. Retro dictionary.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. All right, guys. Well, listen, I think this was another great conversation.
It was.
And, Tom, I have a feeling you'll be back on again in the future.
Oh, my word, yeah.
It was good talking to you and good catching up. I mean, I think this is the first time we had somebody back on the show from such a...
from very early in the
show.
Yeah,
the early of the show,
yep,
period. So
it is.
It's good having you back on, brother.
I'd like you to get that one guy back on, the guy, the
Sam.
Contractor over in Iraq.
Yeah.
We talk about it a lot. We got to reach out to him and stuff.
Yep. It was really.
What about the English guy? When's he coming on?
Mike.
Mike
Toot Toot.
Toot toot.
That guy is awesome.
We are working on him. We keep inviting him, tell him he's got to come on. So one of these days, and maybe he'll hear this and it'll inspire him to you know,
just
come
get
on the show.
Like Mike, just if you're heading to Florida, Mike, just take a detour, bro.
Even if you don't detour and come in, just give us a call. Yeah, you know, make us... it. Yeah, I mean, let's get email going and we'll set up a date and we'll have you on.
I'll tell you what, everybody
wants to hear Mike too. I mean, I want to hear him just to talk to him.
We got an email from the Body Snatcher about coming on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I forgot to tell you that.
I might miss that show.
You know what? I'll tell you what. It's either you love him or you hate him kind of thing.
It is. He's that kind of guy.
He's a great storyteller, but man, you know, it just doesn't work with what you guys are doing.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
See where it goes.
Come on, Mike. We want Mike.
There you go.
There you go. All right. Well,
all right.
It was good chatting with you, man.
You too, my friend. You guys stay safe.
You do the same. Be careful out there.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, Dad, what do they do?
They share the show. Share it on social media. Share it in email. Share it in text. Share it with your friends, family, lovers, enemies, whatever it is. Just share the show.
Just share the show.
And you know what else you can do? Go on Facebook.
Yeah.
Check out our Facebook fan page. There's a lot of good stuff on there, articles on there, pictures on there, a lot of people on there.
Yep.
And a shout out to Josh and Dylan and Jack and Lindsay for being on there and kind of keeping things going and keeping things administrated well.
And Instagram. Follow us on Instagram.
Instagram, too.
And you have your own Instagram.
I do have my own Instagram.
Yeah,
you set me up and helped me out and got me rolling.
We forget to mention that. We set that up a couple weeks ago, but if you want to follow Dad on Instagram, his handle is Brian Merkel. Is it official, Brian
Merkel? Official. Yeah. No, it's Brian Merkel Official.
Brian Merkel Official, because Brian Merkel's already taken, so we figured we'd step it up a little level and make it Brian Merkel Official. And go ahead and follow Dad on Instagram, and make sure you read the bio, because I think it was a little clever. So check us out on Instagram. You can follow me personally on Instagram at Merkification. Good luck spelling that, because I can't even spell it. But Merkification, I got it from the old Red Hot Chili Peppers song Californication.
There you go.
And I was like, Californication, Merkification sounds good. So go ahead and follow me. You can probably just look up Tony Merkel and you'll find me there as well. Listen, friends, while you're listening to this right now, I am either heading to or in Kentucky, and I'm on a special mission.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, because we're recording this 2 weeks ahead of time, but I am heading to Kentucky to embark on a journey that I never thought I'd have an opportunity to do. And
hopefully
I return. A lot of people think I'm crazy for doing this, but
including his old band.
Yeah. Now this audience that's on this show, you know, it's probably a mixed audience and stuff as far as what they think when it comes to this stuff, because I know there's people that follow the show from the other show. But I am going to be going to Kentucky, or I'm in Kentucky, and I'm hunting for 4 nights in the Daniel Boone National Forest for the mysterious dog man. And I'm not just walking around hoping to see something with my flashlight. We have a whole game plan. I'm bringing a crew in, some guys from Texas, some guys from Ohio, and we have tools that we're bringing with us to lure this thing in. We're going all out, hanging dead animals from trees with game trail cameras, and I got a urine, a coyote urine, and predator calls, and I mean, we're doing our...
You're doing it up.
We are going all in, and we got our 4K cameras. I got, you know, camera crew and all that stuff, and of course, we got the big old shotguns and stuff. I'm bringing plenty of things, let's just put it that way. But
protection.
I'm saying that just to say, but in the off chance that you never hear from me again, you know what happens.
It may just be me in 2 weeks.
Yeah, maybe Jack will have to step in and just say, okay, I'm the last son standing, so here we are keeping the show rolling. But so hopefully next time you hear from me, I have some interesting experiences to share with the world at some point. But there's some things that I'm doing and outside of that in Kentucky that's even crazier. So
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, enough about me. Let's talk about you.
Let's talk about you.
Keep sharing the show, friends. Thank you very much for listening. And once again, if you do want to tip us with a cup of coffee, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/Hammer Lane. And that's a great way to say thank you to us for what we're doing.
And it's cheaper than Starbucks.
It's way cheaper than Starbucks. Amen, and to be honest with you, neither one of us drinks Starbucks.
No.
We're those guys that prefer the old black coffee out of the coffee maker at a truck stop than the Moco Caco Latte Grande, whatever at
Bente
Starbucks. I don't know how to even order from there.
I don't either.
I'm just like, yo, black.
I just want a coffee.
I want a black coffee. Yep. What do you want it?
Black. Coffee. Just coffee. I just
black
want
black coffee. Coffee. Yeah.
Like, as big as it can be, whatever the biggest cup is you got back there.
And they say grande, and I'm like, that's racist. Like, you're just assuming I speak Spanish because I'm Puerto Rican. You know, like, I'm like, yo.
Can I just have an extra large?
I cannot put up with that kind of nonsense. So I just go to the old trucker stop and buy some dollar coffee.
It's just pretentious.
Yeah.
That's all it is. They're just being pretentious. Oh, vente. Grande.
Yeah. Take your stupid apron off and give me your coffee.
So, anyway, all that being said,
buymeacoffee.com/Hammer Lane. We'll buy the cheap coffee.
Amen.
Okay. All right, friends. Until next time, keep the hammer down in the Hammer Lane.